Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
God has stirred our hearts in a way that He is speaking to us as it pertains to our families. And so we have titled this particular teaching, Biblically Fueling the Faith of Family. Our foundation scripture is found in Genesis 12:3, where God spoke to Abraham, but we know when we turn over in Galatians, we get light that He was making reference to Christ. There's a covenant that He has established, and it says, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Thank God for Jesus. In our last lesson, we focused on Peter's encounter with God. It was an encounter that allowed Peter to prepare his heart so that he can reach into a family that was off limit to him from a cultural standpoint, from a traditional religious standpoint. Peter was not supposed to be engaging with a Gentile, especially a Gentile family. He was not supposed to be bringing him into his house, nor him going into the house of that particular Gentile. But because he had a divine encounter, he was able to walk beyond all of those traditional barriers. Don't you know when you have a divine encounter, it will cause you to break out of places and break out of things and strongholds, even that has a religious covering. God will break you out of all of that so He can fulfill His purpose in your life. Now, in that lesson, we focus on the fact that God had to do some work in Peter in order to prepare Peter to be an instrument for His glory. And one of the things we said was that serving and success leads to heart shaping for family. Sometimes we have a preconceived attitude or conception, idea relative to our families. And we don't realize that God may not see our families the way we see them. And so while Peter was having success in ministry, when we read in the scripture in Acts chapter 9, he was having great success in ministry. Matter of fact, they called Peter when a particular woman had died. They wanted Peter to pray, and Peter prayed, and she came back to life. In the midst of all that success in ministry, how many know God was shaping Peter's heart to see that ministry was not to be determined by what he thought success looked like, but what God thought success looked like? And another thing we said, that God's unseen hand is preparing hearts. Remember, while God was working on Peter's heart, He was also working on Cornelius' family. So sometimes we don't know where God is at work in our family, but if we're praying, how many know God is at work? And another lesson we gained from that God is straightening the kinks to grace in our heart. And I use the example of those of us who grew up with a water hose and using a water hose to know about sometimes a kink can stop the flow of the water. And sometimes when we are not, if we're not careful when it comes to our family, there could be some kinks in our hearts and grace cannot flow to our families. And so that lesson focused on God's encounter with Peter. Now I want us to look on the other side of what's happening, and I want us to focus on Cornelius. Because Cornelius have what I call a divine appointment that God was setting up and arranging so that he could move in the context of Cornelius' family. So Acts chapter 10, if you're not there yet, go ahead and get there. We're going to go right back there, and we're going to continue to glean from what God is speaking. But here again, God has called you and I out of families in the sense of saying bringing us into His bigger family, the kingdom of God, but He has not forgotten about the family that we came out of. And we need to have meaning and motivation for our family, not so much what we can do for them in the natural, but we need to begin to look at a bigger picture and see that perhaps God is speaking to me because He's making a divine entrance into my family system. He's going through generations in my family. There are things He's going to do within my family, and I get to be a part of that. And so we call it salvation, deliverance, and spiritual empowerment. Those are three things that God wants to do in the context of our family. Sometimes there are religious barriers in our families that God has to break up that foul ground. You know, sometimes people have traditional lens that they look through and they'll have no idea what the Word of God says. It's just that I've been raised up this way. Well, you want to get to a point where you get the knowledge of God's Word and you know you're doing what you're doing because of what the book said and not because it was good enough for mom and good enough for dad and therefore it's good enough for me. Not saying that was not good enough, but we have to make sure it's the Word of God. And so when we look at Cornelius, these are some things we're going to focus on today. The first thing we're going to focus on when it comes to Cornelius is that we have to find ways to connect with family. We got to find ways to connect with family. Remember now, God has gotten the kinks out of your heart toward your family. So if there was any preconceived attitude you have toward your family, you know, those people, listen, those people, that's family. Those are your cousins, your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or however further you want to go. But that's still family. And God wants to move within families. And so we have to find ways to connect with family. Look at verse 2 of chapter 10. The scripture says this. This is Cornelius. He's a devout man and one who feared God with his household, who gave alms generously to the people. He prayed to God. This is a man who is not born again yet, but God's looking at his heart. And God, see, there's this element of him seeking the Lord. There are times where we see the mercy of God extended to people who don't even know him. And sometimes that mercy is what caused them to know him. That love caused them to know him. In other words, when they experience the unconditional love of God, sometimes that captivates the heart of sinners. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, people can be sinners and just have relationship with God. But what I'm saying is Cornelius is not born again. But yet he's got an audience with God. He's praying. He's living a certain way out of respecting what he knew of God. He didn't follow all of Judaism, but there were some moral codes that he was aware of, and therefore he took on a moral standard. And get this, he gave generously. And you know what it did? The Bible say it got the attention of God. So in verse 4, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." This angel was sent from God. An angel said, "You've gotten God's attention. God's been watching you. How you reverence him, how you acknowledging him, how you're praying to him, how you're treating people. You've gotten God's attention." And then when you look at verse number 24, the Bible says this. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. That tells me this. Cornelius had influence in his family. Culturally speaking, heads of household did have influence. They could call the family together to deal with certain issues, social issues, and all of those things. But I believe it was those things Cornelius was doing from a spiritual standpoint that also helped him have influence with his family. He probably was loving them unconditionally. He probably was being kind to them. He was reflecting God to them. So when he wanted to call them over, he didn't have to put chicken wings in the equation. He didn't have to say, "Well, you know, if we put food, they're going to show up there." He didn't have to do all that. He called them over to his house to hear the word of God. And they came. Can you imagine you calling your family together? Not to the church, because we can tell them, "Come visit the church, family and friends day." They'll come and all this. It's Mother's Day or whatever the case may be. But he called them to his house. And they came for what? To hear the word of God. So we see that in verse 24. Look at verse number 33. Listen what the scripture says. "So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come." This is Cornelius talking to Peter now. "Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." It's not about Peter. It's not Peter's popularity. It's not Peter coming in town and everybody say, you heard so-and-so coming to our city. Nah, we want to hear what God is speaking. Remember I said, we the one that make people fans in the body of Christ. The world going to do that. The world going to have their stars. The world going to have the popular club. That shouldn't be in the church. We shouldn't be running behind somebody because their name. We need to hear the message. What is the word that's, let's get this. Let's run behind the word. Let's go for the word of God. But I want us to see that because we have to find ways to connect with our family. You say, well, how do I? You pray. You ask God for creative ways. But you be intentional that the purpose of me gathering my family together is because I'm concerned about their spiritual state of being. I want people in my family saved, not just going to church. I want people in my family delivered, set free by the power of God. You should want the same thing for your family. I want people in my family spiritually empowered to be God's representative in the earth. I want to be able to lead earth and not talk about what I'm leaving everybody, but I want to make sure I had a spiritual impact in my family. That they knew and they respected, not my title, me being a pastor, but my uncle was a Christian. My cousin was a Christian. Not because I wore a shirt, but because I reflected it in front of them. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. See, some of us got to start bringing some good works to the table. The Bible says, so they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father in heaven. Sometimes we want our families to see our blessed stuff, what we drive, how we live. I'm blessed and highly favored. If you serve the God will do this for you. Where's the love? Where's the compassion? Where's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? That material stuff going to get old. It's going to break down. It's going to fade away. But the fruit will never go sour. Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, long-suffering. That's what our family need. They need to come to the fruit market. Now, saints, I'm challenging us because we can buy into an idea that I'm saved and forget about those people. Why do you think God saved you? So he can get up in the hood. Get this. So he can be represented at the cookout. Oh, Lord, some of y'all got so holy. I can't go around. They be smoking. Come on, you Christian, get so deep now. Am I being real now? What smoking got to do with their heart? What drinking got to do with their heart? You are not there to inspect them. You're not there to be able to see what kind of fruit. You see what kind of fruit they got. They need to inspect you. Can they pull some from your tree? Or are you going to be like that tree that Jesus had to curse? Who looked good on the outside. Who had the beautiful leaves. But when he got close. I'm helping us now, Christians. But what I want us to see, Cornelius had influence with his family because of the way he lived his life in front of them. I know there's some cultural dynamics taking place, but I think more than anything, the writer magnified his devotion to God. The writer magnified how this man prayed. The writer magnified how this man had a giving heart. And that got God's attention. That's very important. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3 says this, be completely humbled and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, when we look at that verse and we challenge ourselves, how do I demonstrate this in my family system? It takes the help of the Holy Spirit to do that, right? It takes prayer to be able to say, I'm going to be humble with my family. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to bear with them in love because we've already said, I'm not going to put up with them no more. And God said, you got to bear with them in love. And then you got to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let's bring it into the context of family. That requires what? Faith. That requires a commitment that God, you're going to have to do this. And that's right. That's what he wants us to do, to let him do it. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7, listen what the writer said. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. What he said, live it out right in there among your family members. Live it out in front of your children. So no matter what they do in life, they can remember. I remember how it was at the house. That's what the writer is telling us, to live out our faith in such a way that it honors and it reflects the word of God. So Cornelius is calling his family together to hear the word of God. This doesn't mean you got to go and say, well, I'm going to have a family meeting because nobody may show up because they don't like you. I'll be honest. So you can't run and say, I'm going to call a family meeting because Bob, but no, they say, no, we're not coming over there. But you got to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He'll show you. You don't just jump up and run and do something. You wait and say, I'm going to pray. But see, what happens is it begins with your attitude. Amen. You got to have the right attitude toward a person. You got to have the right attitude toward your family. You got to have the right attitude toward your church if you're going to be effectively praying for your church. And so it begins when you begin to pray. And it may begin with just one person in your family that you end up having this kind of influence with. Amen. One person in your family, get this, may come to you and God may use that as a door to begin to what? Spread out into your family. And so we got to be, remember, God's going to do this. Who's doing this in the life of Cornelius? God. This ain't Peter waking up one day thinking, I'm going to do this. God had to work on Peter. The thing is, Lord, help me have influence with my family. You may say, well, I know I can get influence, give them money. That may not be what it takes. It may take just being humble. It may take just going out, talking about some things that happened in the family and taking ownership and being the bigger person. Say, I apologize. I want to ask you to forgive me. Because sometimes people, get this now, they pass on hate in family. I mean, the person died, but the children picked up the hate. It happens. But God will raise up somebody and say, get that disease out of your family. It's spiritual. It's demonic. And you got to be spiritually equipped, spiritually empowered to deal with the spirits that has to be addressed in your family system. The second thing I think we have to do from Cornelius' witness is this. We got to keep reflecting and rehearsing the word of God. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. And if we're not careful, we'll keep rehearsing the negative things in our families. If we're not careful, you have certain people in the family that you call, and instead of you all saying, let's pray together for the family, you end up gossiping. I'm just saying, it's just human nature. Why do we come to church? So God can get us to remember. Paul told Timothy that, if you put them in remembrance of these things. So God knows how the flesh works. So what I'm saying, God is not condemning us here. He's calling us to a higher calling within our family. There are things that God want to do in our families. And so we got to be careful that we don't keep rehearsing and reflecting on the negative things. Because in Acts chapter 10, when Peter begins to share the word of God, he reflected on the redemptive plan of God. And you look in the Bible and you study Cornelius. When Cornelius got ready to tell Peter what God did, spoke to him, what he's doing? Rehearsing and reminding himself of what God said. In Acts chapter 11, when Peter went back to the apostles because he had been with the Gentiles and Peter gave a report, Peter gave a detailed report to the apostles that God is working among the Gentiles. Faith come by hearing and the hearing the word of God. So if you are saying negative things and speaking negative things, how many know that's going to hinder your impact within your family system? So we got to be careful of that. In Acts chapter 10, if you look at verse 34, the Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. What Peter is saying, God already got the kinks out of my heart. It's good to be able to know God got stuff out of your heart when you've been set free. It's good to know when you know you've forgiven people. And you can freely say, I thank God I've released that from that my life. So Peter said that in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. What Peter is saying, every nation, that means God goes beyond the Jewish race. Peter didn't know that at first. Peter thought God was only working among the Jews. And now Peter realized that God is not a respecter of persons. Get this, that what he done for one, he'll do it for another. The context of that verse is dealing with salvation. The context of that verse is dealing with some spiritual, and it had nothing to do with your airplane, your cars, and all this stuff here. We got to be careful that we don't take scripture and twist them to go in an area that has nothing to do with God. If I'm preaching about my things, that's not the gospel. This is what I'm saying now. See, sometimes I've seen people preach, and then at the end, they want to see the power. You can't preach about all the carnal stuff and expect the power to show up. In Mark chapter 16, the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word, and God confirmed what? The word with signs followed. If you preach the word, the signs gonna come. So when it comes to us reflecting and rehearsing the word of God, we got to be able to go to our families and realize the power is in the scriptures. We're there to share the word of God with them. Even my testimony. My testimony does not have power to save. My testimony can get their attention. My testimony can cause them to see the grace of God. My testimony can cause them to receive the humility. But what caused people to get saved is the gospel of Jesus. We got to talk about Jesus. So what does Peter do? Peter talks about his donkeys? No, he don't talk about his donkeys. Peter said the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching what? Peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord. Now he's at their house. They're waiting because God said there's a word that Peter has for your family. They're all gathered together. And what does Peter preach? Peter preached the redemptive plan of God. He said, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. In other words, after John got through with his ministry, I tell you what, that's when the gospel starts spreading. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Boy, did not Jesus come the right way. He had on the right robe. He had on the right attire. What was the robe? The anointing. Now, if Jesus had to be anointed, and here is God incarnate, how much more you and I need the anointing if we're going to carry out the works of God? You can go to seminary, you can do all that and all that, but if you don't have the anointing, ain't no devil going to be intimidated by you. The Bible says Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and doing what? And healing all who was oppressed. In other words, he was destroying the works of the devil. There's some works of the devil got to be destroyed in our family. There's some strongholds. There's some traditional bondages. There's some generational bondages. Those things got to be destroyed. And God will what? He'll save you. He'll deliver you. He'll spiritually empower you to walk right back up in that family and release that anointing over your family, and the angels of heaven will go to work. This ain't nothing you're going to do. Ain't nothing you're going to do in your own strength. And you got the anointing on your life now. You can speak to your family in the authority of Jesus' name, and the angels of heaven will hearken to the word of God. Notice Peter is preaching Jesus. In verse 39, we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is or was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. If your sins are not forgiven, you don't want to meet the judge. But if your sins have been forgiven, take me to court. Let me stand before the judge. Why? He know me. So Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive what? The remission of sin. Nobody opening doors of church. Nobody telling you can come down by letter baptism or Christian experience. Peter not doing that. Why? They at the house. They're not even at the church. Most people get saved away from the church building anyway now. People get saved in their home. They get saved in the shower. They get saved while they're driving along. What they're doing? They're believing on the name of Jesus and getting born again. That's the Spirit of God. Peter is preaching the message of redemption. That's all he's doing. He's preaching Jesus. He's talking to this family about what Jesus did. That Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus provided forgiveness of sin. And that become the message that he magnifies. The last one is this. We got to trust God to produce the fruit. We have to trust God to produce the fruit. If you look in verse number 44 now, Peter has come to the house. He's been invited. God has given Peter a divine encounter. He set up a divine appointment with Cornelius. They're at the house. The family is there. Everybody's listening to the word of God. So in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words. Now, this is the time you want to interrupt the preacher. The Bible says, while he was still speaking these words. Now, notice, speaking what? These words. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. That means every one of those family members and relatives and then servants, they were impacted by the word. Why? They came to hear the word. That's what they came for. And the Bible says, and those of the circumcision. Now, these are the Jews who came with Peter, who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because, now this is right, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. It's almost like Peter and those with them are shocked because they are saying, the same experience we had, they are having. The same thing God did for us, he did for them. And they are outsiders. They are Gentiles. They are people who were not raised up with the law. They are not Jews. And the Bible says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What's that? Spiritual empowerment. It happened in that family. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? I want to park there first for a second. Baptism follows salvation. These people believed. They are saved in verse number 44. The Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word. That means they're born again. They had to believe. So they got the Holy Spirit. And so now Peter is just saying, let's get them baptized. Listen, you need to be born again before you baptize. If you're baptized and not born again, we know what we get. Going down a devil, coming up a devil. That's what they said. You just got wet. That's all you did. You could have went to a swimming pool that day. That's all you did. I'm just sure we got to be careful that we don't let tradition blind us. So they get saved. Then they talk about water baptism. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few more days. In other words, keep preaching that word. We want to hear more of the word. Listen, when you get born again and you get in contact with the word of God, you're going to thirst for more. You're going to want more of the word. You don't want more religion. You want the word of God. And so here we have a whole family impacted because Peter was willing to be obedient. Cornelius was willing to step out in faith. And as a result, we see the fruit. How many know God produced the fruit? In John 15:5, the scripture says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live in me while I live in them will produce a lot of fruit. You can't produce anything without me. Paul said, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the increase. Listen, Cornelius prepared the soil. Peter brought the word, the seed, but God produced the fruit.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.